Test Zion Azor Sheni, Tuesday the 22nd of March. Rabbi Matis Yohu Lawrence, something fishy.
Good morning. The topic of the shiur, something fishy, is the Indian of dogim, fish, the kashrus of fish. Now, I'm not going to talk about the recent discussion in the poskim regarding fish worms. You may have had shiurim on that. I'm going to talk about the kashrus of fish itself. The simonim that the Torah gives us to identify what is a kosher fish, and some interesting shailas that have arisen over the doiris. The pasuk says, this is Parsha Shemini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Es zeh toichlu. This you may eat, mikol asher b'mayim, from that which is in the water, kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses, anything which has a snapir and a kaskeses, which we would define, b'mayim, in the water, b'yamim, in the seas, b'necholim, in the rivers, oisom teichelu. Those are the ones that you should eat. So the Torah gives us, in a positive form, these are the ones that you can eat, the ones that have a snapir and a kaskeses. Then the pasuk continues, v'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses, and anything that does not have a snapir v'kaskeses, b'yamim u'banocholim, in the seas and in the rivers, mikol sheretz hamayim, from everything which is called the sheretz hamayim, mikol nefesh hachaya asher b'mayim, any living being which is in the water, sheketz heim lochem, is considered to be a sheketz for you. The pasuk continues afterwards. Pasuk Yidalef, then pasuk Yidbeis. Kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim sheketz hu lochem. So the Torah makes very clear what the simonim are of a dog kosher, which is snapir v'kaskeses. So what is snapir v'kaskeses? Says Rashi, snapir elu knofayim. These are the wings. Now, obviously, we know wings not as in a bird's wings, but we call them fins. Sheshot bohem, which it uses to swim along with. The kaskeses, what's the kaskeses? Elu klipin hakavuim boy. These are the klipin, the shells, which we call scales, hakavuim boy, which are fixed into it. K'may shenema, v'sirioin kaskasim hu lovish. Lovish, which like an armor, like a plate of armor that a soldier would wear. So these are the gedora which the Torah says, how to identify kosher fish. Snapir the kaskeses. And exactly what are these snapir the kaskeses and how many do you have to have? So the Rambam explains that the kaskasim are devukois b'chol gufoi. We find them usually over the whole body, although some fish have it only on certain parts. And in fact, we find the halacha is, it doesn't have to have kaskasim over all of the body. It has to have only on a very small part of the body. Exactly where and what is a bit of a machlekes, which is a bit too detailed to go into the ship. The Rambam explains that these kaskasim are agulois, they're round, and they look like nails. In other words, they're sort of shiny, that type of hard material. The Tosefta calls them a malbushei hadag, shelovish vahen, a kind of a garment that the dog, that the fish is actually enclosed in. Why are they called kavuin? We said Rashi said they are kavuin, they're fixed. So the Ramban explains, v'nikroim kavuin, loy mipnei shehim kavuin begufo mamash, u'devukim bo'er hadog. They're not completely fixed into the skin or the flesh of the fish. Elo mipnei she'inom nodim mimenu, v'loy mizdazeya, mizdazim bo'er kasnapir. Whereas a fin flaps around like this the whole time, the kaskasim don't flap around, they stay in their position. But they're not so fixed. And in fact, the halacha is, the Tosefta brings down from the Ramban, and this is the way it's paskened for the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, is that the kaskasim have got to be easily removable in order for the fish to be kosher. If you have a fish which has kaskasim, scales, which are not easily removable, in other words, if you try and peel them off, actually some of the skin comes away with it, that's not kaskasim that the Torah talked about. That would not be a dog kosher. It has to be ones which are niklofim biyad ubekli easily. You can peel them off by hand or with a kli, with an implement, easily. Now there are discussions in the poskim, Noda Behuda and others, what happens if you can't get it off easily with a kli or with your hand, but you have to first soak it in hot water or in some kind of solution? Is that considered to be removable scales which make the dog kosher, which make the fish kosher? The Shaila and the Noyad Yehuda and the Ksav Sofa about that, the Noyad Yehuda said it was okay, the Ksav Sofa said it's not okay. So there was many fish that came up over the doiros which the scales were not easily peelable from the skin. And it was a big Shaila whether these fish were actually kosher. Now, In conclusion, I have to ask your local rabbi. Chazal tell us an interesting klal. The Gemara Chulin tells us that kol asher yesh lo kaskeses yesh lo snapper. Anything that's got a kaskeses has got a snapper, which means if you see scales on the fish, then you know that it's got fins. So why then did the Torah have to give us two stimonim? Why can't you just say, well, look for the scales, and then you know that it's kosher? So the Gemara itself in Chulin asked that question, and the Gemara's teretz is lahagdil Torah v'yadir. There's a big shaila what this means, lahagdil Torah. In other words, you could interpret it means it really was unnecessary, but the Torah just told us something extra to make more Torah, to make something more to learn. There are different pshat in that. What is the idea behind snapping the kaskeses? Why are those the simonim that the Torah chose that determine whether a fish is a fish which is kosher or not? So the Ramban explains that those fish that have fins and scales are the ones that are able to swim closer to the surface than the other fish that don't have them, and they have to swim very deep down. So my nafkimin, why does it matter where a fish actually swims? So Rabban explains that where it is closer to the surface is closer to the sun, obviously, to natural heat, and they're warmer. And when the fish is warmer, it's able to be doiche psoiles, which is inside. It doesn't use the word psoiles, but the Beforshim explain it means a psoiles. There's some kind of negative waste which is inside the fish. And when it's a fish which is a warm fish, then it's able to get rid, to expel this psoiles from its body. And that's a better fish. The Torah wanted us to have this type of better fish. But if it's a cold fish, right, fun, then the Torah was makpid, we shouldn't have that, because it's not able to expel the psoilim, the different impurities from its guf. And the Torah was makpid, and we shouldn't have that. It sounds like a kind of a health reason. Chassam Sofer seems to also understand it like that as well. Obviously, we keep the mitzvah not because of the health reasons, but this is one of the tamim that the Rishonim bring as to why the Torah used these simonim to determine which is a kosher fish. So, we said that there's a klal that Chazal gave us. Anything that has scales has got fins. About 250 years ago, in Wien, in Vienna, where the Rav of the time was the Tosfos Yom Tov, Madani Yom Tov. He was a Rav in many different places, in Prague and Vienna and in Krakow and various places he moved to. And he brings down in a Sefer Madani Yom Tov on the Rosh and Chulin that somebody came to him, called Rabbi Aaron HaRoifei, who seemed to be a Talmud Chacham and a doctor as well, and he came to him and he said to him, "We've discovered something very strange. We found a fish, a reasonable words," says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Madani Yom Tov, "V'ani v'yosi av bezdin v'ram b'kidah kadosh shevina." When I was an av bezdin in the Kiddush Kedusha of Vienna, "Hevi olai hachochav arein arav Aaron Roifei, dog nikra b'leshoinam shtinkas marinas." Right? Interesting name. Okay, variously spelt, shtinkas marinas or stinkas marinas, spelt differently with samach, with sin, shin sometimes. So the correct pronunciation, not exactly sure. "The nimtza b'yam ha'sfardi," was found in the Yam ha'sfardi in the Spanish seas. "The husam ha'moves," it was something which was poisonous. "The harakochim yoidim pu'ulois l'hoitzi ha'aris mimenu," the chemists knew how various things that they could do in order to extract the poison from it. "V'od oisim mi'besorai b'minei refuois," so then they could use the flesh of the fish for different types of refuois, by taking the poison out of it. "V'yesh lo shidra v'roshe rachov," it's got a spine and a wide head, which is also possibly a similar, it's a kosher fish. "V'gam yesh lo kaskasim," it's got scales, "al kol gufoy v'ein lo shum snapir," but it doesn't have a snapir. So his reaction obviously was, there's something fishy going on over here. "Rak sh'yesh lo arba raglaim k'ragli v'hema oichaya," it had four legs, like Ragli Behema Oichaya, so it didn't obviously look quite like a fish, but it was a sea creature with kaskasim, b'chol gufoy, and yet didn't have snapping. The Shalani has there, and he asked me about this. If you'll tell me that the legs are considered to be snapirin, the fins, and therefore this fits within the rule that Chazal gave us. Haloi, darchei darchei noyom. If you're going to tell me that these things are fins, then it's a kosher fish. How can it be the Torah gave us a kosher fish, which is poisonous? The Torah says, it's okay, snap it, it has gases, it's fine, go and eat it. One second, this thing is poisonous. So you're going to... Right. So how can it be? It brings a riot, the Torah passes a type of a luluv, which is very... sharp on the hands. So the Torah wants us to avoid things which are going to hurt us. Doesn't mention that. Vishtoima, presumably they did, otherwise it wouldn't have been a shayla. Vishtoima mazem ma'oid. So I was very, very perplexed by this, astounded by this. V'loy yodati la'ashiv. I didn't understand, I didn't know what to respond. Rak omalti, she'ef she'shuhu min murkav, v'loy hukav koidim matan Torah. It's a crossbreed which didn't occur before matan Torah. And when Chazal gave us this rule that anything that has a snapir, anything that has a kachkeses has a snapir, anything that has scales has fins, that was the rule beforehand. But then crossbreeding occurred afterwards, and this is a result of a crossbreed. The avzeh min murkav acha kabbalas Chazal kol sheyesh le kachkeses yesh le snapir. So this is after the Kabbalah of Chazal. Chazal said the rule how it was meant to be. But after these animals genetically engineered themselves to look different, right? So then, doesn't apply. Seemingly, doesn't apply anymore. Seems to be what he's saying. That was one yishuv that he said. Then he wanted to suggest another yishuv, another answer to this, that the rule of kol sheyesh loy kaskesis sheyesh loy snapir was only said by dogim of the sea, by fish. But by other sea creatures, maybe this rule was not said. And since this thing is a sea creature, it's not a fish as such, therefore the rule doesn't apply to that. He wanted to suggest that. So there's two
it's not a fish, it's a sheriff.
No, no. There are types of things which are sea creatures, right, which are kosher. And he has diukim the psukim. Again, it's too long to go through. He has diukim the psukim. We saw when we started this year, we read out there's three psukim over here, which tell us the definition. These are the things you may eat, these are the things you mustn't eat. And he has diukim the psukim to show that there's two rules. There's one rule that anything that has kaskasim has snapir. That's by degei hayom, by fish. But this rule does not apply to chayusayim, which are not shrotzim, the other sea creatures. That's what he wants to suggest.
He said that you can extract the poison so that you can use it for good purposes.
Right. That required a whole chemical procedure to do that, right? Yeah. A regular person who caught a fish wouldn't know necessarily how to do that. He would catch a fish, he would identify it as a kosher fish, and eat it, right? And then harm himself. So how can it be that the Torah gave the possibility for this to arise?
You said feet or fins. You didn't quite clear that. Did it have toes?
It doesn't say. It says it has raglaim, karagli behema oichaya. So presumably it has some kind of feet as well, right? But it doesn't say that. Just reading what it says, it had some kind of legs. So his answer, again, there's a lot to get through, so we have to keep moving forward. There was two answers over here. Evsha, this is a min, some kind of thing that was crossbred by itself into bread after the rule that Chazal said, or possibly the rule was not said for sea creatures, it was only said with regard to fish. The Pri Chodosh quotes the Madani Yom Tov, and he takes issue very much with what he says. He says, when Chazal gave us a rule, Chazal gave us a rule. These rules don't change. And he says, criticizing the psak of the Tosis Yom Tov, noithin mokim the tois. He made a mokim for people to start making mistakes. Ulefakpek v'divrei Chazal hamekudoshim v'amitim. They're going to start questioning the words of Chazal. The kashem shehukav min echod efsha shehukav u'minim acherim. So if you're going to tell me that one species has crossbred, then many others will crossbred as well. And then the rule all completely falls apart. It's not just one exception to the rule. You get rid of the whole rule entirely. And he said he could have answered in a very simple way. He could have said that this type of species is one which sheds its kaskasim when it's oile min hayam, when it comes up from the sea. Because the Gemara in Chulin tells us that there are certain types of fish which, when they come out of the water, they shed their scales. And although this one over here did have scales on it, he wanted to apply the same idea to fins. In the same way as the Gemara says that there are fish which shed their scales when they come up, so too there's fish that shed their fins when they come up as well. So here, you saw a fish with cascasid but not snapir. That doesn't mean it didn't have a snapir ever. It doesn't mean it didn't have a fin ever. It did have it, but it came off. Which is very difficult to understand, because we understand that the scales are sort of on the surface, they're easily peelable. Fins are much more kavua in the guf. And many of the Achronim took issue with this point that Pri Chodesh said, and says, it's a double rochel k'ma'oid to suggest that fins can come off. Right? But Pri Chodesh said it. With regard to the second teretz that the Madani Yomtsev mentioned, which was that this rule of anything that has scales has fins only applies to fish but does not apply to other sea creatures, the Pri Chodesh took issue with that as well, and he has a proof earlier on in his sefer that no, there's one rule, we don't divide between the two things. The Pri Chodesh doesn't like this. So, along came the Bechoy Yishoy, author of the Sefer Tuvu Ashoy, it's printed in his Chidushim to Chulin, and he says the Pri Chodesh didn't quite understand what the Madani Yom Tov was actually trying to say. He's not trying to say that the Klal of Chazal has changed or anything like that at all. And I'll read you the words of the Bechoy Yishoy. So he says that whatever the Pri Chodesh wrote over here is very, very difficult to understand. That which the Pri Chodesh said, that the Madani Yom Tov was getting rid of the rules that Chazal set down, that if something has fish, if it has fins, if it has scales, then it has fins. But the emes loy kein hoitza kavonas Madani Yom Tov. That wasn't his kavonah at all. What he's trying to say was, afidu sheyuku achal kabaloso, even if these things actually got crossbred after the time of Chazal, things would still stick according to the rules that the Torah gave us. So even if they did crossbreed, what was he trying to say? Really, this thing is actually Toho. If they found kaskasim on it, then avada, it must have some kind of fins. Maybe if you say it's the legs or the arms, whatever it is, you'll have to say that is considered to be the thing. So what was the difficulty that the Tosfos Yom Tov actually had? Was the main question that he was asked, how can it be that Torah gave us something which we would identify as kosher, but is going to be dangerous for us? That was the difficulty which he was facing. And in answer to that difficulty, he said that the Torah gave us, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us things which were perfectly safe. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create anything which was harmful to us, that is permitted for us to have. But let me do his words. When the Torah gave its klal, it couldn't exclude this particular thing because this thing didn't exist at that time because it was crossbred or interbred afterwards. And therefore, the Torah didn't want to start telling us nevuas there, that in the future there's going to be something which is going to be an exception from this rule and stay away from that. At that time, when Chazal gave us that rule, that was the rule which was applicable at that time. Therefore, it's quite possible for the Torah to give us something. With regard to the fact that it's harmful, then he says that there are certain things which a person has, the Torah says, are permissible to do, but a person has to take upon himself the responsibility and the achrayas to look after themselves. So he says, HaTorah materes mishum iso, there are certain things the Torah is mater mishum iso, v'chol odom royu lizoe, ba'atzmoy midova sakon. A person himself has to try and be careful to look after himself from a davar sakana. The hachanami mamish tikivah, so the kosher kenu, the ishtei eres behetze kishamitzina eres mimenu. Especially over here, when we know that there is some kind of therapeutic benefit from this type of fish by being able to extract the poison from it, so that's why the Torah allowed us to have this particular thing, and therefore we identify it as a kosher fish. So this was the approach of the Bechor Shoy in order to justify what the Tosfos Yom Tov was actually saying. So therefore, they are understanding Right? They're coming with an assumption over here, that the Torah gave us a rule over here, and we have to try and find out what happened. What happened with regard to this rule? So they're saying that for some reason the rule doesn't apply entirely anymore. That's the approach of the Badani Yom Tov, according to how some understand it, and others understanding it. No, he was saying that the rule definitely applies in terms of identifying the fish, but in terms of the sakonoship, by that something the Torah didn't take care of in advance, so to speak, because that came as a result of the crossbreeding afterwards. Now, there are other Mefoshim who take a different approach to understanding this. The Crazy of Places says a different Mahalach. He says, although Chazal tell us, the wording the Chazal used is kol, doesn't mean kol. What does it mean? Roiv. Right? Roiv. It means majority. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions that Kadosh Baruch Hu created in the Bria. And the Torah normally goes after Rife. This is a general rule in the Torah. You go after Rife. So just because it says all, it means in general. Therefore, it's not impossible to find a fish that doesn't seem to fit with the rule. Because this is the exception to the rule. Just because it's got kaskasin, it doesn't mean it will necessarily have snap it. In general, Rife, it will actually have it. And that's how Crazy Placey answered very simply the Kasha on this Shtinkus Marinus, how can it be they found a fish with kaskases, but it didn't have a snapper, apparently. The Ksav Kabbalah in the Sefer on Chumash also writes the same thing as well, that Avada we require both simonim, you can't say that we don't require. Jason says Mefush in Nidah that we require both simonim. But this is the Roif. When the Chazal said the Roif, said that the rule over here, we're going after the Roif. The Prima Godin argues. The Godim says no. When Chazal say ko means ko. And he doesn't like the tirutzim of the Madani Yom Tov anybody else. And he like Sorach Iyun the dinner, what's going to be the din with this fish? This Shtinkus Marinus fish. Because we don't know. It seems to be, and he just gives Sorach Iyun the dinner. He doesn't like the tirutzim that other Mephoshim gave, other Poskim gave, and he leaves it as a Sorach Iyun. So it seems to be a difficulty. Now we find that many times, if you look in the Poskim, Chemed brings down a lot of different fish where there were different Kabbalahs in different places as to whether you could eat certain fish or not. And it's very difficult to identify a kosher fish by its name. In fact, if you look in the Torah lists names of animals and it lists names of birds. In the case of fish, it doesn't list any names at all. Right, the Baal Turim says that it's because Dova Hasomu Min Ha'ayin, something which is Mechusa, something which is in the sea, is away from Adam Rishon, and Adam Rishon was the one who gave the names to all the things. Whereas fish, although we find different names that are given to fish, they're not the Shem Be'etzem. All the different behemoths and Chayas and Oifas, the names that they have are Shemais Be'etzem. They represent the Ruchnias of this particular thing. Fish don't have any particular names because they weren't given names at all. So the way we have to identify it is with, if it's clear with the kaskasim, then generally it will have the snapir as well. Yes. Now, what about certain fish where they don't have the kaskasim on it? Yeah. And they fit into the category which the Gemara said that the kaskasim come off, the scales come off when the fish comes out from the sea. So if you see this particular fish in front of you, You don't know what happened exactly. So how are you going to identify it, right? So the Sambais can bring, that Ketuva brings down, the beginning of Hilchos Dogim, Sim Pei Gimel, brings that we could rely on a Tvias Ayin. Tvias Ayin means that those who are experts in fish can say, yes, this is clearly a fish, we can identify it by looking at this fish, and we know that this fish is from the species of kosher fish, even though we can't actually see the kaskasim in a moment. In practice, we don't rely on this, generally speaking, right? The kashrus, the good hashgachos don't rely on this at all, because people are not boki nowadays. And I found in the Oruch, the Sefer Oruch, which is from the Rishonim, he writes over there that we only rely on this when the b'chol dayoni Yisrael are boki and understand, know, and able to identify the fish from what it is. And it's very difficult nowadays to identify that. Anchovies, yeah, and there are certain types of mackerel which certain types of tuna, there's many, many different types of tuna, and not all tuna is actually kosher. The tuna which we actually use nowadays is from a limited types of tuna, and that is kosher, but it's identified. The good hashgachas will have mashgichim who look at every fish, and they will identify this fish has got its scales on it, we know what this fish is, before they will allow anybody to eat it. Moshe in the Tshuva is very machmir about this, and he says if you have any kind of fish where you cannot see any scale on it at all, you cannot rely on the tevius at all, and you can't eat it. And many people are makpid for this with all fish. If it hasn't got the scales on it, right, that's the pashtus of the shulchanot. You have to be able to see scales on it in order to identify this fish as a kosher fish. Now, how many scales you need is also a little bit of a shayla. The shulchanot paskins that one scale is sufficient. Ramah mentions, brings another opinion which is slightly more machmir, and it depends where the scale is actually found. See the beginning of Simon Pei Gimel for exactly the definition of where and what. How many scales one actually has to have is a machloikis in the Mishnah and the Tosefta. We pass that one is actually sufficient, one little scale sufficient to be machshir the whole of the fish. But there is, however, a chashash which the poskim mention that a fish could have scales on it, but it's not its own natural scales. So scales could have come from elsewhere, from other fish, and stuck onto this fish. Right. So therefore, because of that, the remor is slightly more machmir. If you have a look there in Simon Pei Gimel, the remor is slightly more machmir as to what is sufficient with regard to the scales. to finish off with, the the Menchas Yitzchok and the Shevet HaLevi bring an interesting question, which is that nowadays, in these days of genetic engineering, for various different reasons, consumer reasons, companies have decided to genetically engineer fish in a way that those that naturally have kaskasim don't have kaskasim. Those that naturally have scales don't have it anymore, because perhaps this fish looks nicer there, and it can sit on the shelf, and it looks nicer like that, and vice versa as well. And the question is, what happens then? If you know this thing is really from a min toho, but now it's lost its scales, or vice versa. Things which are actually a min tome, and they engineered them to have scales, because they put in a gene from another fish which does have scales, and now this non-kosher fish decides to start growing scales, right? And again, for consumer reasons, they do all these kinds of things and mess around with things. What is the halacha of these? And the poskim are very, very adamant to stay away from, firstly, doing these things, interfering with the ma'aseh bereishis. Kosh Bochur created a bria, which is sholem, which is meant to be as it is, and to come along and try and change things is definitely something to avoid. And we therefore, the hashgachas will be very careful to make sure that the batches of fish which they are taking are things that have not been interfered with, which are things which are natural, and not going to get us into any shilas of dogim tameim.